I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. We're continuing our study today on the subject of supernatural contact, prayer. This is study number 11. Up to this point, we've studied praise, confession, waiting, scripture praying, intercession, supplication, personal needs, thanksgiving, singing, meditation, and last time we looked at the subject of listening. And let me remind you that what we're doing is going through a systematic study of how we approach God in prayer in our private time. And I'm praying for you that you do have a private time with the Lord. And these things that we're discussing and going through in our study is simply a guideline for you. Don't feel that you're locked in, that you have to do these certain things or these certain subjects that we're studying. It is a good starting point. And from there, you can keep going through your prayer life and increasing the time that you spend with the Lord in prayer. I pray that you're using this as a guide. Now, today, we're going to look at number 11 in our subject of supernatural contact, prayer, and that is the Psalms. In Psalm 95:2, the Bible says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." These psalms that we need to be reading and reading back to the Lord are joyful psalms. Martin Luther said, "Grant that I may not pray alone with the mouth. Help me that I may pray from the depths of my heart." And that's the way we need to approach the Lord in our private time with Him. We need to approach Him with the heart. Just as when we receive Jesus as our Savior, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's the way we need to approach God the Father, is with the heart, the depths of the heart. And we need to go to Him and understanding that He's there, that He's ready for us to have a private time with Him. Well, let's look at some of the things about the Psalms. The book of Psalms is one of the best-loved parts of the Bible. The book of Psalms was the Hebrew book of prayer and praise. As we read the Psalms, we are reading the words of men who are praying to God and praising God and telling others how great God is. The shortest psalm in the Bible is also called the Hallelujah Psalm. That is Psalm 117. It has two verses. That psalm says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His mercy, or His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." And that's called the Hallelujah Psalm, also the shortest psalm in the Bible. Psalm 136 is called the Thanksgiving Psalm. That's because the verse says, "For His mercy endureth forever." And that section of Scripture, those words, "For His mercy endureth forever," is written 26 times in Psalm 136. And that's the reason it's called the Thanksgiving Psalm. We find in Psalm 150, just six short verses, we find the word praise 13 times in that psalm. Now, Jesus said the Psalms spoke of Him. Now, we ask ourselves, well, what is so important about the Psalms? Well, it's something, those words in the Psalms lift us up and it guides us. But also, we read the Psalms back to the Lord because Jesus said the Psalms spoke of Him. In Luke 24:44, it says, "And He said," that's Jesus, "said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me." So Jesus said the Psalms spoke of Him, and that's another reason we need to be reading the Psalms back to our Heavenly Father during our private time with Him. And then we see even on the cross of Calvary, Jesus cried out the words of Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" Well, sad words, but they bring joy to my heart in knowing that Christ died for me on the cross. He died for you that you could have eternal life. And then we also see that after Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the Psalms is the most frequently quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. The Psalms are very important to God. And, of course, all the Word of God is important to us. But we see that we need to be reading back the Psalms and letting God know that we praise Him, we adore Him, and that the Psalms are bringing joy to our hearts. Well, why read the Psalms back to the Lord during this time? And I've already touched on that somewhat. The Psalms will bring personal assurance and the enjoyment of my so great salvation. And this depends on my knowledge of the absolute certainty of the promises of God. And this is what the Psalms brings to me. It brings to me knowledge. It brings to me enjoyment. And it helps me to enjoy my salvation. And the more I realize how safe and secure I am in Christ, the more assurance I will have. And the more I will be able to enjoy my relationship with Christ. In Jude chapter 1, of course, there's one chapter in Jude, and verses 24 and 25 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." The entire Bible brings joy to our hearts as saved people in verses such as Jude 24 and 25, when it tells us of God able to keeping us. He's able to keep us from falling. He is the one who protects us. And Jesus presents us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. With the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Later on, you could read Psalm 139 verses 1 through 24 and know that the Lord knows who you are and that He wants you to know that He knows who you are, and He wants to bring joy to your heart. Psalm 125 verses 1 and 2 says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever." Many psalms talk about the presence of God in our lives and how that He protects us and how that we know that we're on our way to heaven because we have trusted in Him. He gives us our strength. And notice Psalm 34 and verse 7. It says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them." We need to be reading these Psalms back to the Lord. Now, He knows all about them. But He wants us to read them to Him because He knows that it's going to bring joy to our hearts and it blesses Him. Now, stop and think about this. This is the Creator. He can be blessed because we're bringing glory to Him as we read these Psalms back to Him. And the Psalms also remind us to follow the precepts or the teachings, the instruction of the Lord. Psalm 119, 45 through 48 talks about that. Well, what are some of the precepts for the Christian? As a new Christian, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The milk of the Word means, to me, it means first things first. Well, what is the first, or what is first for the Christian? In John 7:17 it says, "If any man will do his will," that's God's will, "he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." First, I know that we need to get into the Word of God. We need to study the book. And Dr. Henry Moore says this in the Defender Study Bible about John 7:17. He says, it could read like this, "If any man sincerely wants to do his will, he shall know." Thus, the first prerequisite to ascertaining God's leading in some matter or the truth about some doctrinal question is a genuine willingness to believe the truth and to follow God's will before they are made known, even if the answer goes against one's preference. Whether we think it's good or bad, God knows the best for us, and we need to get into His Word in order to understand what He has for us. One of the first things a Christian should do is start reading the Bible. Start by reading the Psalms. John 16:13 says, "Howbeit when He," that's the Spirit of truth, "has come, He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What should you start reading as a new Christian, as a new babe in Christ? You need to start with the Psalms, I believe, and let God lead you and speak to your heart through that. The new Christian, in desiring the sincere milk of the Word, who receives the milk of the Word, he needs to be baptized, not for salvation, but because it's in obedience to the Lord's command. We are shown in the Word of God that there are things that help us to grow in His grace and knowledge. Reading the Word of God, being baptized, joining ourselves together with other believers, and partaking of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Him until He comes for us, either in death or until we see Him in the air when He comes for us in the rapture. Now, there's one final thought from E.M. Bounds I want to share with you. It says, David knew where to find a sin-pardoning God and was received back again and had the joys of salvation restored to him by earnest, sincere, penitential praying. Thus are all sinners brought into the divine favor. Thus do they find pardon, and thus do they find a new heart. The entire book of Psalms brings prayer to the front, and prayer fairly bristles before our eyes as we read this devotional book of the Scriptures. The Psalms. Read them back to the Lord in your private time. If you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, let me invite you to do so right now. If you will bow your head and just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And I'm not telling you that it's just a simple amount of words that you pray, but it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Pray and talk to the Lord. Ask Him to come into your heart. Receive Jesus as your Savior today. If you'll ask Him, He'll save you because He wants to. He shed His blood for you on the cross of Calvary. If you've trusted Him as your Savior, let me invite you to write to me today. Louis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Louis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. If you'll write me today, I'll be glad to send you free information on how you can start your Christian life, how you can be happy because you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, how that you can grow in His grace and knowledge. If you are saved and you have turned away from Him, God has not turned away from you. You've turned away from Him. He's not left you. You've turned your back on Him. You're still saved. You're on your way to heaven because the Bible tells us that. You need to get things right with Him today and let Him use you for His honor and His glory. You can also today go to our website for prayer, for information, for Bible study helps, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. And once again, it's been a privilege to be able to come to you today and share with you the good news about It's a Good Life. Until the next time, when you hear me say It's a Good Life, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
Living right has given me much more.